For instance, when it comes to ourselves, is it that we do not want to feel good about ourselves? Certainly we do. When it comes to our families, do we not want their love, their support, their understanding? I think certainly all of us do. And when it comes to the work, the vocation that we engage in as a manner of making a living, is it not that we want those who have hired us to have patience toward us, to have appreciation for the work that we do, as well as to pay us for the job that we render? So indeed, everyone wants something. But what about the church? What about the local church, the church here at East Albertville? What do you want? What do I want from the church here? What is it that we look for? What is it that we expect from this local church? And so, let us understand that as we try and give answer to the things that we want of the church here, let us understand that there is also consequences to the answers of what we're given in reference to what we want. So what do I want from this local church? One thing that I think I and you as well want is for the church to be strong. For the church to be strong in the truth of God's word. But again, if this is a desire of something that we want on the part of this local church, let us understand that in order for that to be the case, we have to be strong in the truth. Because after all, you and I are a part of the local church. In 1 John chapter 2, it's in verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. That's what we see all through the scriptures, that God's word must abide in us. So indeed, if it is that we want the church here to be strong in the truth of God, then we are going to have to, as individuals, abide in the truth. Also in John 17, Jesus in his prayer to the Father, beginning with verse 17, says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that you also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So truly we see that God's word is what truth is all about. Let God be true, but every man a liar. And so when there comes a contradiction or a difference between what God's word says and what man may say, what I may perhaps even think, then we know where truth is. We know where truth lies. And we need, if we want the church here to be strong in the truth of God, we need to be strong as well. In fact, one of the passages that I don't have on the chart is Ephesians 6 and verse 10, which simply says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We must be strong if that's what we expect, if that's what we want from the church here. Another thing that we might want from the church here is for it to be a place of encouragement, a place to where we can be encouraged and where we can grow. And here I'm talking about grow spiritually. But again, if that's what we want from the local church here, let us understand that all of us, while we want encouragement and growth, we need to remember that there are others who are expecting that from you. It's something that we want, but it's something that other people want as well. It's not all a matter of I. It's not all a matter of me. But there needs to be understood that there are others, members of the church here, that are expecting encouragement from you, things by which they can be able to grow spiritually. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, he says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice in those verses, twice, there is that statement, one another. It's not just me, it's not just I, it's one another. We are to consider one another. We are to assemble together so that we can exhort. That's where the encouragement, that's where the spiritual growth can occur and needs to occur and must occur, is with one another, engaging in the things, whether it's assembling or in all of the other aspects of what God requires of us as a congregation of his people. So yes, I want the local church to be an encouragement. I want it to be a place where I can grow spiritually, but I need to understand that there are others who are looking for the same. And it's not all about my encouragement and my spiritual growth. Another thing that I want this local church to be is a place of peace. It's a place of unity. But again, if that's my want, if that's your want, then let us understand that peace and unity are based upon truth, and unless you and I stand for the truth, then we need to patiently work together, and we will have that peace. We will have that unity. It's in Ephesians 4, here's what we read beginning with verse 1. Brethren, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice what we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those that are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, seeing that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So we see then that, yes, is it not that we want peace and unity? Nothing is better than peace. Nothing is better than being united together. But we have to make sure that peace, that unity, is a result of our standing on God's word, truth, as we talked about a moment ago in John 17. We need to be able to be it patiently, and to one another, like in these verses that we've read, We need to have a certain attitude ourselves, and that is lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and have that motivation that we want to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let us not be of a contentious spirit. Let us not be of those kind that all the time are stirring up the water, as we sometimes use that expression. You know, there's all times things that all of us can do that will stir up the water to keep people agitated. But is that really what a Christian is to be? An agitator? No, a Christian is to be what we've read here. He is to be one endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And as long as truth is what is what prevails, excuse me, then let us understand that we can do what we want the church here to be, a place of peace and a place of unity. In 1 Thessalonians, and I think I read that in chapter 5, notice it says, to those that are unruly, warn them, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. We need to pursue what is good, both for ourselves and for others. A third thing, the fourth thing, rather, that we want, or at least I want, this local church to have, is a good reputation. A good reputation as far as the community is concerned, and a good reputation as far as other brothers and sisters in other places here concerning the work here. But if that's my want of this local church, then again, I need to understand that our reputation will be what we make it to be. It's up to us. It depends upon each of us. It depends upon our faithfulness to God. And this is something that touches and affects our everyday life. Not just for the 3 or the 4 hours that we are together here, but reputation of the church here goes beyond these 4 walls. And we need to understand that. In 1 Thessalonians, notice we have verses 7 and 8 in chapter 1, it says, so that you become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. What a reputation, what a statement that could be said about the Church of Macedonia. We're dealing with reputation, aren't we? Is not Paul bringing it to the Corinthians how important that the reputation of a local church is? And here's your example, Paul says. Corinth had its problems, especially in this matter of sending relief to the churches of Jerusalem. He had commanded it in the first letter, and now in the second letter, a year later, they still have not followed through. But what Paul does here in this matter is he brings up the church of Macedonia. He says that these are worthy of example. He says that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia, but you have not followed through. He said, I have used you as an effort to teach others. But now he says that the word of the Lord from you has sounded forth. And he not only says that, not only in Macedonia, not only in the region of Achaia, but he says in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we need to say nothing. So here's a church that by its reputation is well known, not only just in the community, the local area, but also in the churches in other places. So truly, if I want the local church here to have a good reputation, both in the community as well as in the brotherhood, then here is an example of that, that we need to imitate, that we need to follow. Another passage. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So see, we're seeing it from the standpoint of a congregation, 1 Thessalonians 1, and now we're seeing it from the standpoint of an individual, Christian. It's up to us as individuals that will determine what the reputation of the church here will be to other people in this community that aren't Christians and to what other brethren in other places hear about us. So it's not all to do with just the elders, the deacons. They're not the ones that are the only ones that are at stake and making sure the reputation is what it ought to be. It's each and every one of us as members to see to it that we're carrying on in our lives every day in the manner that we should be. Because then and only then will we have what we want from this congregation. A congregation that has a good reputation. And another thing I want from this local church is to grow in number. And yet, though that may be my want, let me understand that in order for the local church to grow in number, you and I must be the active part of all the efforts being put forth in the church here. Remember Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, when he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. Every one of us have certain individuals that we come in contact with that none of the rest of us in this building have that opportunity to come in contact with. It's not always a matter of directing a possible prospect toward the preacher, because why? That person don't know the preacher. And in a lot of instances, people are intimidated by the preacher. It ought not to be that way, but that's the way it is. It's just a fact of life. But you, as an individual, we have those people that know us, that trust us to the degree that they are familiar with who we are and what we are. And they are the ones that we need to be focusing on to go into all the world and preach the gospel, hoping that he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And back to that verse that we looked at just a moment ago, 1 Thessalonians 1. The example of the Macedonians. He says, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia and believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out. You know, we can read in the book of Acts of where Paul went on one of his missionary journeys to the city of Thessalonica. It didn't turn out too well in many respects. In fact, he had to be secretly leave the city. And then that's the verse that we have in Acts 17 and verse 11, which says that the people of Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word of God with meekness and searched the scriptures to see what are the things that were being said. But Paul had just left Thessalonica. There, they assaulted Jason's house. Jason had obviously heard Paul and the others preach the gospel. He had obeyed the gospel. And there were those Jews that seemed to hang on Paul everywhere he went. And when they found out he was in Thessalonica, they went to Jason's house. They assaulted the house, thinking that Paul and the others were there. So no, Thessalonica was not 100% total reception of God's word. It wasn't. But they served an example to churches in Macedonia, churches of Achaia, because the word of the Lord was something that even though there was opposition, even though there was resistance, they still sounded out so that Paul, as he said here, we had no need to say anything. So truly, if we want the church here to grow in number, then we need to understand that each and every one of us has an active part to play. Not just a select few, not just a certain small number, but each and every one of us. So, what about the conclusion that we draw from all of this? What do I want from this local church? Well, I want it to be strong in the truth of God's word. I want it to be a place of encouragement, a place where I can grow spiritually. I want it to be a place of peace, of unity. I want it to be a place that has a good reputation. And I want it to grow in number. I remember as a young boy, back when John F. Kennedy was elected to the President of the United States, in his inaugural address to the nation there in 1961, he made this statement, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Sad to say, that's not a politically correct statement today. But what needs to be true of this nation and our attitude toward it, it definitely needs to be true in regards to the church, to the local church. And while he said those words, which are definitely true, here are some divine words that are certainly most definitely true. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So see, the question that we've been asking, what do I want, what do I want from this local church? What do I want from the church here at East Albertville? It would be a better question to ask, what do I have to give? And let that be really the question. What do I have to give? Because in all five of these things that we looked at, do we see the consequences of asking it in the way that this is what I want? There's consequences. Because in order for it to be the way I want it, it's all concerning my actions. Each and every individual Christian that makes up the church here. So what do you have to give? If you have not obeyed the gospel, then there is nothing you can give. Because you first of all need to give of yourself in obedience, in humble obedience to God's word. To be willing to understand that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's where our faith has to begin that God is. And then that faith that we need to have, that evidence of those things that are unseen, comes from the hearing of God's word. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I need to take notice of the fact that all of the evidence of there is a God is all around me. It's everywhere. Whether it's daytime or nighttime, whether it's spring, summer, fall, or winter, there is the evidence of God is. But now in order for me to know God, I have to go to his word. And all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So I need to go to God's word and hear God's word in order that I can have faith. Faith that will lead me to believe that I have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To realize that sin pays wages. The wages is death. Spiritual death. Separation from God. Then the faith that I'm hearing that comes from God's word teaches me that I need to confess my faith in that which I have heard, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the one that God has made means by which I can have those sins that I'm guilty of forgiven. But before I can have those sins forgiven, they need to be turned from, repented. And if I'm willing to repent of my sins, with my mouth confess that Christ is the Son of God, and be willing to be buried with him in baptism, then the Lord will not only cleanse me of my sin, but he will add me to his church. To the church that Jesus said, upon the rock that he was the Son of God, that I will build my church. And then we need to be busy, as the Apostle Paul, to join ourselves to a group of people that have had their sins remitted and have gone about their lives, both individually as well as a congregation, doing things according to God's will. Just like Paul wanted to join himself, become one of the church at Jerusalem. We need to associate ourselves where that we can be able to give, like we talked about in our study. Then we'll be able to give of our lives, give of our efforts, give of the things that God has blessed us with as far as the gifts that he's given us. Live faithful, and heaven can be our home. Maybe you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, but yet the things, the world around us has had its influence to too great of a degree. And we have slipped in our responsibilities, in our devotion, in our zeal, our dedication. Maybe we become discouraged because of things going on around us. Maybe like the prophet that we studied last Wednesday night. It's easy to get discouraged with everything that's going on in the world. It's easy to think that the world is winning, but no, it's not. We need to understand that just like we studied in our Bible study this morning, it's all in a matter of timing with God. But there is a day coming called the judgment day. And if we don't live to make it to that judgment day, there's something coming before that, and that's our own physical death, our departing this life. So even as a Christian that has obeyed the gospel, we're not once saved, always saved. When we sin, we sin. Sin separates us from God. We need to have the forgiveness of sin. And we need to be thankful that God has given us the means again through his Son, where we can have his blood atoned through repentance and prayer. And these things that we've done will be forgiven. Can we assist you in either of these ends? Please, let not this day pass, as we studied in our class this morning. Today, now is the time. Today is the day. Yesterday, as Brother George said, is gone. Tomorrow will never come. Today. And let us be of assistance to you while together we stand to sing.